All right. This evening, we're going to observe the Lord's table in just a few moments, but I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. I started to preach tonight. I've got a message prepared out of Genesis 21, verses 1 to 7. And that's what I was planning to preach on tonight. And I got up this morning and I thought about that the wording of the Spirit of God when he moved upon Jude to start his epistle. Jude wrote these words. He started off, he said, "Jude the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied." He said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Jude was saying, he said, "I had it in my mind that I was going to be writing unto you concerning," when he says the common salvation, that salvation that is common to all God's people, salvation by the grace of God. He said, that's what I was going to write about. That's what he had in his heart to write on that particular book, book of Jude. But the Spirit of God moved his heart, changed his heart in another direction. Well, that's what happened to me. I've been looking at and preparing Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 to 7 now for a week and a half. And started going over my notes this morning, and the Lord has tuned my heart to want to look at this passage of Scripture out of Isaiah chapter 6. And it's a blessed account of the Lord dealing with Isaiah, and it's a precious account to God's people. It's an account that's giving the people of God the assurance that the Lord has purged their sin, purged them from the bondage and the guilt of sin, and they need that assurance. So before we look at this, let's ask the Lord's blessing. Our Father, as we call upon you this evening, we're so thankful that, Lord, we can call you our Lord and our God. We thank you for the blessing of assembling ourselves together. Oh, what a privilege to be here with our family. I ask you now, Lord, have mercy. Teach us tonight. Help us, and Lord, forgive us. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen. Now, this assurance. This assurance is essential because the regenerate, he knows something. I say it like that because we know in part. Paul said, we preach in part. We see through a glass darkly. We know, but we want to know. So a believer knows something about two essential things. Two things. Number one, he knows something about the holiness of God. He knows something about it. He doesn't know what he wants to know. Doesn't know what he shall know, but he knows. He knows something. And I'll tell you something else that he knows something about. He knows something about his utter depravity and his inability in himself to be reconciled to God by his own works. He knows something about that. And again, I mean it. We know, but we want to know. Now the Scripture sets forth a particular event that happened in the life of a man named Isaiah. He was a prophet. And this particular event made a very great impression on Isaiah. An event that God greatly used to teach this prophet something that all God's people need to know. I want you to hold your place in Isaiah 6 and turn to 2 Chronicles 26. 2 Chronicles 26. 2 Chronicles 26. There was a king, his name was Uzziah. And this was a man that the Lord had used for the good of Israel. And it says in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 14, Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the whole shields and spears and helmets, habergeons, bows, and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong, till he thought too highly of himself. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, "It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priest, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast transgressed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper until the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now, back in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah is remembering that event. And he says in verse 1 of Isaiah 6, "In the year that King Uzziah died." Now, he just referenced that time. It was something of that time, of that event, that he saw. The Lord showed him something. Uzziah was a king that was beneficial. He was blessed. Wise men, had cunning men. They built engines. I got to reading that. I thought, man, they built engines back then. And these implements of war, shot arrows, threw stones, and he just all these things. And he was a marvelous king until he was strong. In the year that King Uzziah died, in that year that King Uzziah's heart was lifted up to his destruction, in that year when he thought that he could and had the right to approach God on his own merit by going into the temple to burn incense upon the altar of incense, a duty that was only reserved for God's priest. There was a picture. That's a beautiful picture and type that the Lord God of heaven is going to be approached one way, through the person, the priest, the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Uzziah, like all men fallen in Adam, thought that God would accept his service, thought that God would accept his will, his decision. But he realized immediately the error of his way. God smote him. Now there's a we're going to look at it in just a minute. It's a great, great blessing of God whenever the Lord reveals to a man or a woman, you're not worthy. Before, man by nature, carnal man, born in Adam, he thinks that he can do something and God will accept it. He thinks he can exercise his will and God will accept it. He saw, Isaiah saw, whenever Uzziah tried to approach God in the way that was only reserved for Aaron and his sons, the priest, God smote him with leprosy and he was cast out for the rest of his life. He was cut off, the scripture says, from the house of the Lord, and he died a leper. Now that affected Isaiah. That affected him. He'd seen something. He'd seen something of the works of Uzziah the king and the help that he was. But when he was strong, Isaiah saw God. In the year that King Uzziah died, in that year, Isaiah said, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now here, Isaiah was blessed to behold God's priest. He saw this in with new eyes to see this vision. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He saw him sitting upon a throne. He saw him in his mediatorial glory. He had his train, just his robes of his office, and he was sitting there because the work of redemption was done. This is how God saw. This is before the Lord ever came into this world. This is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He sees it. And here sits the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. And he said in verse 2 to 4, above it, above that throne, the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Now, above this throne, this is what Isaiah beheld. Seraphims, interpreted fiery, are burning ones. And here's these seraphim, these created beings, covering their faces and their feet with four wings and flying with two more. And they stand, that's what it says, above the seraphims, above it, verse 2, stood. Here they stood. That it means either appointed or abide, but they were above the throne, and it had one message: holy, holy, holy is the Lord. I looked at this. Look back at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the capital L, lowercase o, lowercase r, lowercase d. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But here's what, look at verse 3. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the triune God, Jehovah, the Lord of hosts. The whole earth, Scripture says, is full of His glory. If you have a margin, my marginal reading says, His glory is the fullness of the whole earth. I was reading over this morning, looking at this and preparing this message. And as I looked at that, I thought, in this world right now, we've got so many things that are so distracting to us. We've got the government seems to be in upheaval. The world's in wars and rumors of wars, and it's this, that, and the other. And the economy, you know, I say, well, it could be collapsing, and it just, I mean, it's just a mess. You know what the Scripture says? These seraphims cry, "Holy, holy, holy, His glory is the fullness of the whole earth." I'm thinking, Marvin, settle down. Just settle down. Settle down. Here's where Isaiah was brought to. Isaiah beheld sitting on the throne the one who is worthy to approach Jehovah in his own merit. None is holy in himself but God. Listen, 1 Samuel 2:2. There is none holy as the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital as Jehovah. There's none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. The angels of glory, the angels in heaven. They're said to be the holy angels. But their holiness is derived from the Lord. God's people. The Scripture declares that God's people are chosen in Him, that they should be holy and without blame before the Father in love. Where does their holiness come from? Him. Robed in His righteousness. There's one holy. There's one. And these seraphims, concerning the glory of the triune God, holy, holy, holy. And having seen something of the holiness of God, and this is the blessing. And again, I can't stress enough. It is, to me, it's just embarrassing how little I know. How little I know. I know I'm just a child. Like, was it Jeremiah that said that? One of those prophets said, I'm just a child. I'm just a child. Who am I? Here's Isaiah, blessed of God to see the holiness of God. And he saw God kill Uzziah because Uzziah thought that Uzziah could approach God Uzziah's way. And God killed him. But here is the one sitting on the throne and the seraphims above that throne. You know, two wings they cover their face, and two wings they cover their feet, and two wings they fly. Holy, holy, holy. Isaiah saw something of His holiness. And then seeing something of His holiness, here's the second thing he saw. Look at verse 5. Then said I, Woe is me, For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord, Jehovah of hosts. He saw Jehovah. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ, the fullness. And here's where a needy sinner must be brought. Brought by the grace and the mercy of God, brought to see something of his own corruption. And you know this, all of you know this. Before the Lord calls us out, before he teaches us something of ourself, he shows us himself. He shows something of him. We see something of the glory, the sovereignty of God. And then we see something of our own corruption and depravity. Before, where we thought ourselves able. No believer in this congregation tonight. No believer would say, I'm able. I can approach God. God forbid. God forbid that thought. Man thinks so lightly of sin. He's brought by God's grace to see himself as unrighteous. He sees himself as unfit to approach God in his own merit. He's brought like the children of Israel were when God was going to meet with Moses up on the mountain, and the lightnings and the thunder and the fire. And the, what do people say? Moses, you go up there. You go. We'll stay here. We'll stay here. We don't want to go. God brings a man, a woman, to see something of who he is and who they are. And when the Lord has shown us something of who we are, and that's when we begin to be honest. You know, you've heard me say so many times, a believer talks like a believer. I don't know how to explain that. But you just listen. You just listen to somebody talk, and it'll come out. If grace is there, grace comes out. There's just something about it. I don't know. But I tell you, the first thing I notice about something, there's a spirit of humility. There's humility there. Isaiah saw a little bit of himself, and he got real honest. Woe is me, for I am undone. Here's what he said. I deserve to be struck dead. In myself, I deserve to be struck dead and cut off for what I am. A believer is convinced by the revelation of God's Spirit through this word. He's convinced of this, that God is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. And Isaiah said, I'm a sinner, and everybody I live around are sinners too. We're all dug out of the same pit. And all of us have been made by the grace of God to see something of who we are. Why? For mine eyes have seen the King. I've seen something of who God is. And according to the marvelous mercy and compassion of God, the Lord, who has everlastingly purposed to show kindness to his people, unworthy sinners like me and like you, directed one of his ministering spirits to do something for a comfort, for some assurance to Isaiah. Now you think about where he's at. He's seen the Lord. In the year the king of Zion died, I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a throne. And seraphims crying, holy, holy, holy. He said, I saw something of me. I see something of what I am. I see I'm a man of unclean lips. I don't know how to talk right. I don't know how to approach him. I don't know how to praise him. I don't know how to honor him. I'm a sinner. I am a sinner. I'm undone. And the scripture says that God then called one of these seraphims, verse 6 and 7, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and he said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. And listen to this. And thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Now, to a needy sinner, to somebody that's seen something of themselves, that knows something about what they are, I know you just like me. I know just enough about myself to know if I had to stand before God in my sin, if my iniquity was charged unto me, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. If I had to stand before God answerable, accountable, I'm undone. I'm cut off. That seraphim came and took a coal. This is what he saw. He took a live coal off of the altar. That beautiful, glorious picture. Now here's an altar. That altar, that is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ who laid down his own life. Now there's the altar. There's the altar. He laid down his life willingly. How is a sinner's iniquity purged? How is his sin put away? How? One way. That seraphim took that live coal. Now here's a live coal. Now this is off the altar. This is where the incense is put, in the merit. Here's a live coal off that altar. That beautiful type of the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ to lay down his life for his sheep. That altar upon which he shed his own blood to pay for the sins of his people that he bore in his own bodies, in his own body. That sins that were surely included in for Isaiah, for me, for you, for all that are the Lord's. And that live coal picturing the justice and the wrath. God is a consuming fire. And here's that live coal. And he laid that coal on Isaiah's mouth. He touched his lips. Somebody said, I don't understand all the symbolism. I can tell you this. When he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And that seraphim, he took and touched those lips. He said, God's purged your sin. God put it away. How? By the shedding of his own blood, under the wrath of Almighty God. Oh, the wonder that God would be pleased to remove iniquity and purge sin by shedding of his own blood. That blood that was shed under the justice of God, the wrath of Almighty God, wrath that was spewed out because God is just, but wrath that is spewed out because of God's love for his own. He loved him. He loved him. I've loved you with an everlasting love. God so loved the world. Jew, Gentile, people out of every nation, kindred, tribe, tongue, you know, his elect. God so loved the world that what? He gave his only begotten Son. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. And that seraphim came and took that coal and just touched his lips. I said, God's put away your guilt. I pray God bless this to our hearts for his glory and our good. Amen.